You are listening to the Better God podcast, where we learn about who God really is. And I promise you, he's a far better God than the ones we imagine. I'm Alex Liszczak, and let's explore God. Being God, it might not be surprising that there are attributes that only belong to him, that no other part of creation, whether in heaven or on earth, has. If that's so, what are these attributes? This season, we'll be exploring what's known as God's incommunicable attributes, or the attributes that God does not share with his creation. These characteristics are exclusive to him alone. They don't include anyone else. Now, when we think of who God is, the first thing that may come to mind is that he is love. That, or that he's a brute. We may also err to believe that's basically all he is. God is love, but not justice. He is love, but not jealous. He is love, but not fill in the blank. But you might say, if he is just, it is ultimately because he is love. If he is whatever else, it is under the umbrella of his love. Well, first of all, God is 100% love and 100% just. There is no dichotomy, contradiction, or partiality in any of his attributes. We'll be exploring that more in a later episode. But my point is this. If God were to have a so-called umbrella attribute, or the attribute that sums up everything of who he is, it would be his holiness. God is holy, period. H-O-L-Y. This means that his love is holy, his justice is holy, his wrath is holy, his mercy is holy, even his freedom is holy. Now, this begs the question, what is holiness? What does it mean for God to be holy? Some today have redefined holiness to mean unification. For example, some argue that people outside of marriage can have a sexual relationship that is holy, because they define holy to mean unified, to mean joined together. But that's completely wrong. Holy has always meant, and still means to this day, separate, especially when scripture uses it to describe God. When God says in Leviticus, "Be holy as I am holy," he is saying, "Be separated as I am separated. Be consecrated as I am consecrated." To be consecrated means to be set apart from other things, other people. Sanctification also has a similar definition. Isaiah 6:3. "And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Psalm 99:9. "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy." Luke 1:49. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." These are just a few passages proclaiming God's holiness. In other words, what we are exploring here is how God is transcendent, how he is not like us. He is totally unlike his creation. In 1 Chronicles 17, King David prays to God, praising his otherness, his holiness, his unlike anyone else-ness. He says in verse 20, "There is none like you, O Lord, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears." David is making a claim that out of all that he has come to understand, no one even compares to God, to his being, to who he is. As we had read in Isaiah, God is proclaimed as holy, holy, holy. In Hebrew, a repeated word is used to give emphasis. So, for example, to say to someone in the ancient Jewish world that the pizza was very good, you'd say the pizza was good, good. The pizza was more than just good. It was on another level. And if you wanted to say that the pizza was the best you've ever had, you would say the pizza was good, good, good. So when those in the Bible praise God as holy, 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 they are taking the word holy to the superlative degree, or the highest degree. Like nothing else is holier, nothing even compares. To say holy, holy, holy is to say more different than anything else ever. The point scripture is making is that there is an incredible gap between you and him. In fact, there is no quantity for it. God is qualitatively different. If I can't state it more plainly, please know that God isn't like you. Let me give you a few more passages just to reassure you of that fact. Psalm 113:5. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? Exodus 15:11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the spiritual beings? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Jeremiah 49:19. God said, "For who is like me? Who will summon me? What shepherd can stand before me?" Isaiah 55:8-9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Psalm 71:19. "Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you?" Please note that when the poets ask the question, "Who is like you?" it's not as if they are searching for an answer. It was rhetorical, meaning it was being used for mere style or effect. The answer is embedded into the question. No one is like God. No, not even one. Now, God's attribute of holiness is also synonymous to the word transcendence. God transcends all time and space, as it states in 1 Kings 8:27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this temple that you have built. In other words, God is uncontainable. Because God is holy, because he is transcendent, that means no one can contain his understanding. No one can understand him. No one can understand creation. No one can understand anything without him first revealing it to us. When Job questions God's character, God's response is this: "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it?" The point God makes here is that even though Job knows God did these things, he doesn't fully understand his ways, why or how he did those very things, because God is ultimately far beyond Job's ability to comprehend. Romans 11:34 echoes that, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" The answer? No one. Another facet of God's holiness is that he is totally separate from sin. Now, we'll explore this in more detail when we talk about his purity, but it's important to understand that God is totally different than any created thing in essence or being, which also means he is separate from what he is not. For instance, God is not evil. He is not like evil men. That is why in Exodus 33:20, God tells Moses that no one can stand before God and live. Why? Because God cannot be where sin is, and since men are sinners, they would be overtaken by God's wrath, another attribute we'll eventually get to. But this is all you need to know for now about God's holiness in relation to sin. This creates a serious dilemma. If God is holy, and he is separate from sin, and if we are sinners, then we cannot stand in God's presence, for he is holy. He is separate. He cannot be joined to anything or anyone that contradicts his character, for God does not and cannot contradict himself. Yes, a serious dilemma indeed. What does it mean for us to know that God is holy? It means that our very lives, even if put all together, are incomparable to who God is. Our value is worthless. Our wisdom, it's nothing. The very best of our strength melts away like wax before Him. As it says, we are only dust from the ground He made and sustains to this day. But God, He is a being that was never made, and there is nothing, no being in heaven nor on earth that can claim such a status. God is holy, holier than you and I, holier than the universe. He is the holiest of all things, seen and unseen. When we pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name," we are making a claim, first and foremost. We are saying, "Oh God, you are not from here. You are not like this creation." When we say, "Hallowed be thy name," what we're actually saying is this: who you are, God, is holy. Your name, which represents your person, your divinity, your reputation, all of who you are, is not like anything we can fully see or comprehend. You are far beyond us. We acknowledge and submit to this truth. You see, no mind can truly comprehend God, for no one is remotely like Him. The one who knows God completely is none but God Himself. Thankfully, however, the Son of God, who is God, came down to reveal Him to us. His name is Jesus. Though He cloaked Himself in human flesh, He never ceased to be God. His divinity never relinquished. Rather, He came to show us the very nature of who He is, and He did so perfectly. Even still, He knows that we will never be able to attain such a knowledge as to exhaust God's description. And that is for a reason. The reason being, we are only creation. That will never change. In other words, without God, nothing can be known that is not known, and nothing can be known that has yet to be made known by Him. He is the one who initiates all knowledge, all revelation. God, though He wants us to know Him deeply, will never give us everything we could ever know of Him. But that's a good thing, because that means that for all of eternity, the people who come to trust Him will continually learn more and more. It's not like He is rationing Himself as if there's not enough of Him to go around. In fact, there will never be an end to Him, no matter how much we attain. For if there is an end to God, there is an end to life. If we knew it all, understood all things in the exact way He understands all things, became the exact imprint of His nature, we would then become gods. And that could never be. Hear me, please. God is eternal life. He is the endless fountain for our weary souls, so we can refresh ourselves in knowing Him. He is far greater than the sufferings we face, so we can trust Him and call to Him in all circumstances. He Himself is the source of all things, so we can depend all things on Him. Those who truly believe will always be reaching, always be yearning, always leaning in to know Him more. And my friends, that is a rich life. Wouldn't you want that life? A life that only grows more rich as it goes on? This life, right now, will be gone in a moment, quicker than the speed of light. And the mightiest wealth and hungriest desires will soon decay. For those who do not cling to God, those memories will become eternal regret in a body of fiery torment. But for God's chosen people, a people He loves intimately, those memories will turn into only one grain of sand among a long, unending seashore. when his saints approach 1,000 eternities, they will only have just begun to live. In the same way a child opens his eyes for the first time into a bright and unfolding world, full of promise and expectation. Thank you for listening to the Better God podcast. We just learned that God is holy, which means that he is qualitatively different than us. It also creates a problem when we start talking about the sin of man. But don't despair. There is good news. On the next episode, we'll be delving into how God is extremely close. Yes, even closer than you think. Though God is far from us in being, he is intimately engaged with his creation, and he has a special plan to bridge the gap between him and those whom he loves. So please subscribe as we continue to study who God is as he reveals himself in the Bible. If you'd like to send in a topic-related question, you're welcome to email me at bettergodpodcast@gmail.com. At the end of the season, I'll be hosting a Q&A that should better answer any questions you may have about the topics we've been discussing on this podcast. Again, I'm Alex Lischak, and you can find me and this podcast on YouTube, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other podcast platforms. You can also help support this vital ministry by doing these two things. First, pray. There are so many false descriptions of God in this world. Pray that God's chosen people will open their eyes to see and know the true God, the God who loves them, who plucked them from an eternal destruction we all rightfully deserve. And second, please share this podcast with those you know. While some will come to loathe this God, others will come to love him, not because they had done anything to reverse their fate, but because they simply see that he has set them apart for himself. For this pleases God that this is so. Yes, God is far better than we could ever imagine.